Mic check.
Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
And salutations, friends. How are you today? I am Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepherd. We've got Rick Church on the other side of the glass. Chris is on vacay. And we are good to go. Our text line, 239-337-ESPN. TGIF, it's been a week. It's definitely been a week. We are here. And now I need to know, because I'm getting texts, if we're on the air again. I don't know.
Well, I know you went out to check in your car, but sometimes because you're right there next to the building, it will come on the radio. But we're getting a lot of texts that we're over the app right now, but maybe not so much over the year. But we're working on getting the problem fixed. And by the way, Craig, happy anniversary. Three years today, buddy.
How about that?
It seems like yesterday.
Can you remember what the big topic was of the day 3 years ago in May? I mean, we were probably NBA playoffs. We were talking sports.
It was Monday after the golf tournament. You got to play in it. I didn't because everything was going down that weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
And I had participated with you the previous Friday, not the 10 days earlier.
Yeah.
And another time a week before that, but... Yeah, I forget May 22nd of 2017. I don't know.
Wow.
I would imagine it would be some baseball. I would imagine, NBA playoffs maybe. And
yeah, no doubt.
Some Stanley Cup stuff maybe. I don't. Maybe getting ready for college football.
Yeah, of course. Games. It's always that time. Always that time.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to do this. I hate to do this on the air, but since maybe we're not on the air. You're right. I probably got this because my car is parked right under the transmitter.
Yeah.
Rick, would you mind going down to the operations manager's office and make sure that he knows what the bleep is going on with our signal right now, just so that he knows? Because a lot of people are texting in. They're hearing us online only, but not on the radio.
I think the powers that be are aware, but let me just go check and let me go check on that.
Thank you. I promise I will not throw it to commercial break. Nobody will smoke on the air while you're away from the board.
Right. Good to be back, by the way.
Yeah,
it's been a long time.
Got a lot to catch up on. Thank you for coming in today.
Toothbrush, 1990. They're all saying we have dead air on the radio right now. I don't know if it's a building problem, Craig, or it's a gremlin problem for us. But
well, this has been very frustrating. This on a week where we didn't have phones all week.
Do we have phones today?
No, here's that story. There's a truck here and equipment being installed right now. And I can't help but think, look, I got an A in many things in college. I got an A in meteorology. I got an A in astronomy. I did not take radio engineering, but my spidey senses tell me that somebody messed a line up that they're putting a phone in and it's affected our feed to the transmitter. That's just my guess. I could be way off on that. But
it is a lucid, rational, logical assumption. And I cannot think, and I do not apply this to our staff, okay, our engineers, because Richard and Steve are great people, and they do a great job.
Right.
So this is not on them. I'm just telling you, I always go back once again to Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park.
Yes.
And remember when they start on the tour, and what does Jeff Goldblum say? Good God, we're in the hands of engineers.
Oh, dear Lord, help us. This is just a perfect capture. Boy, Rick's been gone kind of a long time. I wonder if he's having a conversation. I told him to ask him to get up from the board and go walk down the hall and get some answers.
Yeah, I asked him
throwing me on the air
too.
When you alerted me to it, I went and checked. I just assumed since it was on in my car radio, it was fine. But maybe the first
I called you.
Feet.
You didn't pick up.
Yeah, I know.
I called you first. You didn't pick up.
Sorry. I saw your text and then called you back.
My
Rick Church is back with an update. What the hell's going on?
Red alert!
There's like all kinds of crazy stuff going on in the hallway. Apparently, we were off air about a half hour ago. Richard, our engineer, said it was back on, but now there's another problem, so it came back off, and he's yelling at people on the phone. So that's a good sign. Hopefully, we'll be back up and
get him, Richard.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Well,
I don't want to get on his bad side.
I would like to tell our listeners to go ahead and listen on the app, but they're the only ones that can hear me anyway. Criminy.
Oh, I know Rich has been doing a tremendous job. I know he's extremely frustrated because this is not about him, and I know he thinks that it probably looks like it reflects it, and it doesn't. From everything I have been told from over here at my, humble home here in Bonita Springs.
Yeah, yeah.
But
well, you've been social distancing away from all this.
5 days without phones is a little much. I've never experienced that in my life, Craig. I don't know about you,
never,
but that's a little much.
Never.
And I don't think it's just our station either.
Well, it was, but then I thought they had phones across the halls. I'm like, well why come they have them and we don't?
Wonderlic, 239, we see all your texts. I don't know if you guys can hear.
No, they can't hear us, Pete.
McFly, well, switch to the app then.
But they can't hear us. Tell them to do that. Oh, good Lord.
Hear my dog in the background. My dog, what is she doing?
Fine, put her on the air at this point.
Oh, we call it Diggies.
Yeah.
What? Where she goes in her, she has several beds and she goes in them. She just makes it fluffy for herself.
But I like that. Yeah.
Very, very,
the life of a dog.
It
awesome.
Is, yeah.
All right. I have to tell you, and we'll just probably have to redo all this once we get on there. I'm assuming we're getting on the, happy anniversary.
We're on the app, but there's, again, there's some good stuff already coming out sports wise, but go ahead.
Does that mean I can swear? Cause it's on the app. It's not on the FCC airwaves.
Oh, let's try it, Rick. No.
So I began by celebrating our anniversary. Would you like to know what I had for breakfast this morning?
Yes. What did you have?
First of all, I had a little scrambled egg with some cheddar cheese melt on top of it with a big old side of ribs from our friend.
Art the Bills fan.
They were pastrami ribs, which you missed out on yesterday. And, of course, dinner was already rolling when I rolled in yesterday. So I had them with breakfast this morning. Good Lord
Thanks.
Almighty.
Yep. I'm sure they're good any time of the day or night or middle of the night or early morning. Yep. Great.
All right.
Wonderful. You were getting texts earlier. People wondering if you met me halfway. No, wasn't even offered.
Yeah. All right. So we're getting texts now. We're back on the air. Been a hell of a week, people. No phones, and apparently we were off the air, but we were online, but now we're on the air, according to our texters. Thank you for letting me know. They're going to let me know all day.
Well, we're back.
Hopefully
yeah.
we'll
Let's
be
see how long. Let us know if we're not.
All right, good. So I just to recap, it is Pete and my third year anniversary. This is a bad omen.
Happy third year anniversary. And Chris, who said he'd call, and Chris is listening right now on the app.
He is?
Laughing at us.
Our Chris? Oh, or another
he's
Chris.
He's laughing at us.
All right.
He's sprawled out somewhere.
Really?
Or on a boat to be sprawled out somewhere.
If he's listening, Rick needs the elements to Craig's Friday Sports Test. He can't find them. Please text in.
Oh, Christ. That's all we... Now we don't have that?
I mean,
yeah, because I didn't get that email either.
For gosh sakes, it is a sponsored event. We're still going to do it whether we have the phones or not. Oh, by the way, I need to mention, out at the boathouse on Naples Bay.
Yes.
This weekend sounds like a blast. It's like boat week out there on, hold on, where is it? Let me get this right. And it, for Saturday, it's like boat day out in the bay. You go out there, and if you roll in with your boat and pull it right up to the boathouse at Naples Bay Saturday up till 4 o'clock, boom, automatic 25% off your bill. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to have a special card. You don't have to say, hey, you know that deal on Heard on Radio? Just pull your boat up to their dock on Saturday up till 4 o'clock, 25% off your bill at the boathouse. How about that? Fantastic.
That is fantastic. Absolutely.
Oh, man. All right. I think we've managed to stay on the air for 3 minutes. We're good.
What's the over-under? I'll give it half hour.
Well... See, here's the thing. The last 2 days, we've been in the middle of some really good stuff, and then those emergency alerts come on because of severe weather and all that, which is fine. That's how radio's supposed to work, to let people know so people stay safe. But, I mean, that's happened like 3 or 4 times this week, and we get the text, hey, you're off, the emergency alert is on. Now, today, we were just off. But we're back, so we're good. Very good.
Richard, the engineer, just came in, and he thought you guys were giving him a hard time. He goes, just tell them I don't care. I've had the care beaten out of me. And I said, Richard, they were being very
respectful
to you.
He goes, the opposite.
He goes, I thought I heard him. I thought I heard in the hall. I go, no, it wasn't them. No.
He's just like the listeners who have listened.
Tell him, Jesus, just tell him it's just the opposite. Tell him we know it's not. We know he's taking the blame for this, and it's not. He shouldn't be.
You want to talk about a guy who's stressed out?
Does it feel like Friday the 13th around here? I mean, it just feels like that kind of day.
Yeah.
Nobody freaking listens. It's like, I mean, they listen, but they hear, I don't know. Maybe we're in a parallel universe. Switch. Chris has got that B station over there. I don't know that he talks. Maybe they're on that. Mm. No, we said, all we said was we have great engineer. Richard and Steve were awesome. This is not about them. No. This is, they're trying to Band-Aid this situation here. And I just get the feeling sometimes they get overruled and they shouldn't get overruled.
By the way, we're on your side.
We're on your side.
I got to add this. Swishabake has texted and he says, "Hey guys, at least nobody's vacuuming behind you." No, that's next week. I got the memo at 3 o'clock next Wednesday. I believe we're vacuuming the building and then sterilizing it.
Yeah, so, the sterilizing.
That's coming, Swishabake. You're like 4-5 days ahead of the curve.
The carpet cleaning. Yeah.
Oh, good Lord.
Oh, my God.
All right, so as you know, it is Friday. Pete and Benita, I am here in Estero. We've got Rick Church on the other side of the glass. Chris is on a 4-day vacay. We'll be on a 3-day vacay. We'll be off Monday, and then everybody back on Tuesday. So that means good bumper music today by Rick. I assume so. I mean, I shouldn't assume. Maybe that computer's dead.
Well, you know, people are privy to the fact that I'm here because I'm already getting texts about Miley Cyrus.
You're getting requests already.
Oh, a few texts about Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Rick, I haven't seen you since forever.
You know, I was just thinking about this last night. The last show I did with you guys was the last time Pete was in the studio. Remember that? Right. We did a we had Chris in there. He had me come in and sit here. And then that was it. They were like, no more.
Wow.
You go home. You go home. You go home.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been a while.
Wow.
Both Rick and I have substantially longer hair since we last saw each other last time.
Yeah, I got a haircut. Monday will be two weeks or three. Monday will be two weeks. I've gotten,
That's been the worst part for me, man, the hair. The hair is out of control.
But your beard is tight.
Well,
usually you like a fuller beard. Your beard is tight, but your hair is longer.
Well, Craig, you know, you don't want them both out of control. You know what I'm saying? It's bad enough I got the hair everywhere. I don't need to, you know, if the hair is well coiffed, then we can groom, the beard can go, but not both.
Okay. All right. Very good. some sad news to start the day, and it seems like somebody we were just watching this week at Jerry Sloan, the former head coach of the Jazz, passed away at the age of 78, he's had Parkinson's and dementia, and I remember watching The Last Dance when he was on because there was a lot about
Craig. I'm sorry. Give me 5 seconds. I have to get up and shut my door. This is my wife's on a conference call. And
No problem. This is the way today is. No problem. So, and Jerry Sloan was, when I was watching him on The Last Dance, I thought to myself, I couldn't remember if he was quote unquote still with us or not, because I remember something, but obviously I must have heard a news story way back that he had Parkinson's and obviously some dementia, and so he passes away. Former Bulls player, maybe people forgot that, didn't remember, and then a head coach for the Utah Jazz. And by the way, when he was the head coach of the Utah Jazz, how many ever years it was, he had the highest winning percentage of any coach in the league during that time period. I mean, they won a boatload of games, and I have often argued, and I firmly believe this, that the two Jazz teams that lost to the Bulls of the finals might be the best team in the history of the NBA to actually never win a title. That was a loaded team with Stockton and Malone, and Ostertag was the beef underneath, and that was a good team, and they never got the ring. So
they were very well coached, and there were any other came so close. Were they lost in six both times? Seven and six. Yeah. So they came close. They had opportunities, but they unfortunately went up against a juggernaut.
We do have some sound. I wanted to play it now, just because it's keep it tidy from Karl Malone. And this was actually before Jerry Sloan died, but Karl Malone just recently did an interview. He was notably absent from appearing in the interview segments of The Last Dance. Just didn't want to do it. And here's a couple sound bites from Karl Malone. Rick, you got these? Are you?
I mean, one. I got one of them. Hold on.
Hold on. All right.
Port Charlotte Joe said we were off the air, then we were back on the air.
Here's what we're going to do.
I got him, Craig.
We're going to proceed as if we are on the air.
Yeah, we have.
And if it does, if we fall in and out, I don't know what's going on. I know we got gremlins in the transmitter, in the phone system, the whole deal. But I'm going to do my job. And I'm going to proceed forward and do the
job.
That's
all we can do. Do your job.
All right.
Herb Brooks, play your game. Play your game.
Can I do a little sidebar real quick before we get to Kamala? Yeah. I had a dream last night. Your boy Bill Belichick was in the dream, and he was like super friendly. Like we were like getting along and just having a good. It had nothing to do with football. It had nothing to do with radio. It's not the Bill Belichick I know.
Well, Bill outside the football stadium is a very different type of guy.
He was laughing. We were yucking it up, and I can't remember what the circumstance was. And I think I remember going, I got to tell my buddy Pete about this. He would love this.
Did he set to say hi to me?
No, not in my dream. Not in my dream.
What were you talking about?
I don't remember. And I want, you know what I just.
Lions? First days with the Lions?
No. Here's what I think it was. I think the last thing I saw before I went to sleep, you know, I always fool around on the phone before I go to sleep. I think I saw you retweeted something from Tom Brady. That was my last waking thought. You retweeted something from him yesterday. I can't remember what it was. But
oh, fine. It was texted Sean Payton about week one.
No. I don't think that was it. I'll have to go look it up. But anyway, he and Payton did go back and forth teasing each other about week one. All right. So here's until I figure it out. Chris is usually pretty good at interpreting my dreams. I have no idea what this means. Here is Karl Malone. He says, I was never in awe of Michael Jordan. It's just perfect.
I didn't say I couldn't hear it, but
no.
Well, I was gonna take it.
Nobody heard it. It didn't play. Let me try this again. Rick's clicking buttons over there.
I am.
All right. Take two. Nothing. So the sound computer's dead too?
I don't know.
Holy crap!
I don't know what's going on here, boys.
Do you have internet access at all?
Yeah, we're rolling barely. Well, now I don't know. Now I'm not so sure.
I don't know. Punch up some porn site. That'll get somebody alerted.
No, I would. I will not do that.
Everything appears to be in order here.
All right, I got to check.
Should we go to Zoom? Can you radio Zoom?
Okay, we ready?
I think
we're ready. Sure. Ready?
All right, Karl Malone.
We are.
Set up that clip again.
Karl Malone says never was he ever in awe of Michael Jordan.
So when I say the name Michael Jordan, what comes to mind?
Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan. What else I need to?
Oops.
Well, and then it cropped out, huh?
That's the clip that I.
That was it.
That was it.
All right. Here's part two. He says.
Part two.
Yeah, I'm gonna go for it. I'm going for it. I'm all in. I'm all in right now.
I understood part one.
This one's a little longer. This one's 56 seconds. The last one was just 10 seconds.
All right. Here he is. He actually takes the blame for not winning any championships in Utah.
Why do I have to? But I tell you this, I'm all man, and I accept the responsibility for not winning one, and we was there. We just happened to be playing the Chicago Bulls, which wasn't just Michael Jordan, by the way. And I have the utmost respect for Michael, but I never thought I was playing Michael Jordan. I was playing the Chicago Bulls. But let's not, you know, everybody say this person was a bad man and all that. Well, yes, I give them respect. But I got a setup. I'm a man. And I was a bad son of a bitch, too. So that's how I look at that. And that's who I am. Maybe in my older years, I can call it that bluntly. But I'm just calling it like I see it.
Okay. Karl Malone, the mailman, trying to deliver one more time. Jeez. But no, I respect that because Karl Malone during the Michael Jordan era was, I don't know, you call him top two, top three, top five player in the league in a time when Michael Jordan dominated. And I respect that opinion, that he did not bow down to Michael Jordan, and he says it was the Jazz versus the Bulls, not Karl Malone versus MJ. I could appreciate that.
Yeah, I don't expect any NBA player, really anybody in professional sports, to say they're going to bow down to somebody. Now, you want to say, oh, my God, I have an ultimate respect. As long as that particular athlete B is on that team, they're never out of it, that type of thing. Yeah. But you very rarely hear professional athletes say, you know, they're going to bow down to anybody, right? I mean, really, you could be the 12th man on the bench, and you're not going to say, bow down to Michael Jordan. You can use all the great, you know, all the PC words of respect and admiration, that kind of stuff.
Although I do think there were a heap of people that were intimidated by Michael. They would never admit it publicly.
No. How could you not be? I think some really good / great players were intimidated by Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
But would never admit it.
Right.
But.
All right. All this on the heels of Jerry Sloan passing away, talking some Utah Jazz here today. But lots other going on. Stuff going on.
Yeah. Meanwhile, a couple of things. Good news for football fans. The Southeastern Conference has just passed a vote in the last hour, allowing athletes to return to campus by June 8th. It's a major step toward having the upcoming college football season start on time. And it will allow those that open back up to have more than enough time to train and prepare for the upcoming season. However,
what?
It is important to note that the SEC is not requiring schools to reopen its doors to athletes, and Friday's vote simply allows... Okay.
Rick's just playing guitar. Don't worry
about
it.
Sorry, man.
Friday's... Sorry. It's okay. Friday's vote simply allows for the schools to open their facilities to their teams. Players and schools are not required to return by June 8th. So most schools, guys, have expressed their excitement regarding a return on Monday, June 8th. But Kentucky Athletic Director Mitch Barnhart has issued comments suggesting his school may not open by the date set by the league. Quote, with the NCAA and SEC approving a return to activity, we will work with our partners at the state and local government and university levels to determine the date that our student athletes will come back. We will not compromise the safety and well-being of our student athletes in this process, taking all possible precautions. Once we take this important step in returning activity, we will shift our focus to preparing to return to play and bring the entire UK family, student athletes, coaches, and fans alike back together this fall in a responsible, safe way. Translation, we'll be back on June 8th. I just felt the need to say the politically correct thing right now, but there is no way in hell or high water is his team going to be alone come June 8th. So LSU is expected. They'll join the SEC. Missouri, Texas A&M, and Florida have already announced that they will. Other schools that have announced they're coming back. Wyoming, how about this? June 1st. Ohio State and Louisville, June 8th. And Indiana and Illinois, mid-June.
Mid-June. And Iowa claimed that they were doing June 1st. I haven't heard a peep of them since they announced that like 2 months ago.
Yeah, the only school I've seen June 1st is Wyoming.
Okay.
So that's good.
One sign, and this is all good news.
Yes.
I'm curious, though, because all week long, we prelude this story by saying, look, the SEC is going to vote, and they're going to vote whether to come back June 1st or June 15th. It wasn't that they weren't coming back. And you're telling me after saying either June 1st or June 15th, they picked June 8th. They split the difference.
Yeah.
I just wonder how the conversation went. It's all a good thing. I'm splitting hairs here, but I'm wondering why they did that. Or that maybe they weren't unanimous in whether it be June 1st or June 15th, so they split the difference and said June 8th. That's probably what happened.
And Wyoming just said it's June 1st because I'm sure they don't have nearly as many cases as a lot of other states do. So it's a little more isolated over there.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, league sources say NBA teams have been informed they would likely be allowed to bring roughly 35 players / coaches / staff into a campus environment if this season, as increasingly expected, resumes in July. So I guess in normal circumstances, it seems travel parties routinely exceed 50. But now you're at a start here. At least it's going to be about 35 to start. So that's a good thing. Better than four, what we heard last month.
Right. And when they start, and apparently it's looking like actual games now, July 15th. We had heard like the 24th or something.
Yep.
Spencer Dinwiddie says he's here in the 15th. He's with the Nets. But they're also, I guess they're going to, like if they do a bubble city like Orlando, they're going to start games at noon and just keep having games all day, every day, to get caught up somewhat. But then when the playoffs start, they'll kind of calm down to a more regular schedule. Yep. So Man.
And apparently, I've read this now a couple of times, the NHL might beat them all. They're poised to beat the NBA and MLB. July 6th is a tentative return date for the NHL, according to a couple of sources I've seen.
Wow, good for them. They're going to beat baseball.
Yep. I don't think we're seeing baseball.
I got another.
You know what would be interesting? I wonder if this would ever happen.
Mm-hmm.
Would we see minor league baseball but not major league baseball?
That's an interesting thought. Can that happen? Since they're affiliates?
I don't know.
Of,
even A-ball. I mean, A-ball down. Just A-ball down here. I mean, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. Very interesting. I haven't heard a peep about that as a possibility. In fact, the closest we had to that was the story we did in our final segment yesterday. There's a minor league team in Richmond that's now doing curbside pickup if you want some of that crappy stadium food. And they got to do what they got to do, right?
Yeah, apparently so.
Yeah.
Apparently so.
All right. Well, I think we deserve a break after the opening segment.
Barstool Sleeper says, why can't MLB come back? That's the least of the four major sports with contact.
Yeah.
Barstool, I don't know if you've been listening all week or really the last 2 weeks.
They're arguing
it has
over
nothing
money.
To do, trust me when I tell you this. You're going to have to believe me. I think Craig will back me up. This is not about health
right,
or the coronavirus.
Right.
Well, it kind of is. This is about money.
Moolah.
They want them to take a 50-50, do a 50-50 split, and they won't go for it. And guys like Blake Snell and others have said, screw you hippies. We ain't doing it. Ain't going to happen. We got an owner, John J. Fisher, out in Oakland that can't pay the rent on his stadium.
Yeah.
Would have no place to play. If everybody could play today, the Oakland A's would have no home.
All right. We checklist. We have air signal. We are on the air, 50,000 watts. We're online. We have internet. Rick's got his computer working. We just don't have phone lines at the moment. But we do have the Stony Brook Golf Club text line at 239-337 ESPN. We're going to roll. I was going to promo coming up, I believe, Monday night as we're airing the greatest games in NFL history, Super Bowl I. Rick had to sit in. Did you sit in here and listen to your beloved Brett Favre Vikings lose to the Saints last night?
Yeah, that was torturous. That was brutal.
That was bad. I felt for you when I was reading that promo all day yesterday.
Yep.
But same outcome, huh?
Yeah, that's funny because I was actually texting with friends. I go, the Vikings just tied at 21-21. I think they got a chance in this one.
They got a chance. That was the bounty game, right? I mean, Favre got crushed in that game.
That was kind of the start of Bounty Gate. The real investigation didn't happen until the next year. And then, of course, Peyton and Williams got their punishment the year after. But, yeah, that was pretty much the initial Bounty Gate game in the big investigation.
All right. Well, on Monday, we've got Super Bowl I, Chiefs.
How cool is
Packers.
That, Craig?
I think that's very cool.
Super Bowl I, from CBS Radio Sports.
I was mentioning on the air yesterday, I've tuned in and out of these as we've been airing them. It sounds fantastic.
It is great.
It really is good to hear on the air, and it's really fun going back into time. So we'll have Super Bowl I on Monday at 8 o'clock. The greatest games in NFL history brought to you by Affordable Air and Heat. We are affordable online at affordableairconditioningandheating.com. Sheeman and Shepard on a Friday, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Follow the guys on Twitter at PSHEP326 and at Craig ESPN. This is Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepard, our third anniversary together. Nice job, Rick Church, with the stacks of wax over there. 99.3 ESPN.
Expecting on the webpage, like some big, like you click to it, like balloons and fireworks going off and dancing girls and everything else. Nothing.
Dancing girls?
A celebration of our third year anniversary.
I would just take phone lines in an air signal. I'm not as, I don't expect as much.
That's true. That is true.
I do remember this song, but I can't place the band, Rick. Who is this?
It's the Little River Band.
Is it really?
It's the Little River
Love
Band.
Them.
The Little River
Love
Band.
Love them.
Yes, sir.
Oh, they have so many great hits. Take it easy on me.
Wow. Good tune.
Oh, they have so many great hits.
Are we doing anniversary bumper all day? Are there enough songs out there?
That's the thing, Craig. I looked, and that's about as deep as it goes right there. What I can find, but,
That's okay. I was just asking the question.
And the anniversary song is kind of like more for married people. That's
right. There's an anniversary
very
waltz.
Very slow classic. Yeah, that's what I'm,
yeah.
Yeah.
We, from the night that we met. Actually, Donnie Most sang that song one time on Happy Days. It was pretty good.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did. You know, when he say, you know what episode it was? You remember this episode, Craig?
I probably do. Probably,
and Rick?
Of course.
The I think it was the second or third year. The one, the dance-a-thon, where Joni and Fonzie had his, you know.
Yeah.
And Fonzie had to push his bike 12 miles, and he did, she, and Joni didn't realize it. Yeah. So, and Fonzie wanted a slow song, so he looked at Ray and said, no, we're doing this. He looked at him, and Ralph starts singing the anniversary waltz.
See, I can. I told Pete this in the audience this last week. Rick, you would appreciate this because you're of our era. There, just randomly on ABC last week, was a two-hour documentary, The Happy Days of Gary Marshall. And it told the whole story, how he developed Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley and Mork and Mindy and all this other stuff. And it was quite enjoyable watching the clips from back in the
huge
day.
You know, that's I was... Funny, I was complaining on the golf show last Sunday. We got off on like 70s TV shows, and I said, you know, Happy Days was one of my favorites. But why is it you can't find that anywhere, like on Hulu, on Netflix, on Peacock? No. I can't find Happy Days. I can find any old TV show except that.
You know what? It's interesting you say that. Even years ago, I have the first two seasons on DVD.
Do you really?
Yeah. And I think there are three seasons available on DVD, but the entire... You know, and after Fonzie jumps the shark, like after that season, when Richie goes, Ron Howard goes off the show, it kind of gets a little stupid. I mean, I like the first year when Fonzie becomes a teacher. That year isn't bad. You're introduced to Jenny Piccolo. That kind of the first year with that Ted McGinley is okay. Then it got a little crazy until Richie came back at the last season. But you cannot find him anywhere. I totally agree. You can, and even if you go on YouTube and try to stream some episodes, whatever, you have bits and pieces of some, but not whole episodes. However, I did, you know, a friend of mine that has a special app. I have last year. I requested. He sent down the first four seasons to me, and. A couple of them actually had commercials in them, which is rare for this app that he has. But it was better than nothing. Now, Laverne and Shirley's available on Netflix.
Yeah, that's
so it's weird. Yeah.
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 And, you know, there's a new service now that we get on Xfinity. It's called Peacock.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's like, you can find like WKRP in Cincinnati on there, like Family Ties,
Herb Tarling, all
these old TV shows. And, like, so I'm sitting there with my son, I'm going cycling through. I'm going, why can I not find Happy Days anywhere ever?
Now, does he like watching these older shows or not? Because Chris just frowns like that's just boring old-timey stuff.
He's never watched them, though.
See, like, Cheers is like probably my all-time favorite show. And every once in a while, I try to force him to watch an old Cheers, and he's just like...
He doesn't like
it,
Cheers.
It just doesn't cut it for him. Nope.
Swisher Basics, the CBS app, has all 11 seasons. That would make sense because that's where I've... Yeah, maybe they do. The CBS app has all 11 seasons.
I may have to get that then, just for that.
This is a little bit in the weeds with Happy Days, but I just had a flash of both Pinky Tuscadero and Leather Tuscadero. Who was Fonz dating Leather or Pinky?
No, Pinky. Pinky was Leather's sister that went to reform school.
Leather came many years later. Yeah, Pinky was the girlfriend, but then her little sister Leather came. And
she was like a rock star or something.
She was in real life, too. And I believe she used to open up for Joan Jett. Yes, they were kind of similar.
Susie Quattro. Oh, very similar.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Susie Quattro is her name.
Yeah.
Right. And, and remember that in that episode, Joni becomes one of her background singers.
Yeah, yes.
And,
yes.
and they're going to go on a big national tour, but Joni's parents won't let her go.
Yeah.
And she's going to run away from
back
home.
Then. But I guess I've heard in real life that on the set, Pinky Tuscadero, real life, she was not a pleasant person to be around.
Really?
No. Very much like Susan on Seinfeld. They killed her off because they hated
her
because
like
she was a bitch on the show.
See, and I don't get that. You're a small part. You're a small cog in the wheel. Just fit in. Why would you... What kind of ego must you have to show up on another set of something that's popular, whether it be Happy Days or Seinfeld, and be a monumental pain in the ass? That either you are not self-aware of how you are coming off, or you just have an inflamed ego that is out of control.
They just nailed it right there. Inflamed ego out of control.
But why? That's, they're not that big.
I don't know.
The woman that played Susan has never played anything else since, and then Pinky Tuscadero wasn't that big of a star to do anything else. They were what they were. Enjoy it.
Absolutely. And then you got a great actress who was on Breaking Bad, and I forget her name, the one who played Skyler, Walter White's wife, who was also on Seinfeld and played Jerry's girlfriend. And she was so good at what she did, didn't make any trouble, but sort of got blackballed. and used to get massive amounts of hate mail for her character, which, I mean, it should be flattering to get that, but because it shows you how good an actress or actor you are.
Yes.
But it's amazing to me. But Pinky Tuscadero was not well-liked on the set.
Man.
And speaking of documentaries, as long as we're on this tangent. So last night,
yes,
I said, you know, by the way, somebody, Jack and PC says, Jack and Porchelle here, Firestick has Happy Days. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Live Roku. Grand Poobah says, I just did a YouTube search. Over 200 full episodes are available. I see. I've done a YouTube search. I didn't think I've seen bits and pieces. I'll have to do another one. Mm. So I watched a 2.5 hour documentary that came out in 2004, I believe, but it was I hadn't seen it before. 2.5 hour documentary on Disney Plus, on Disney, no commercials, about George Lucas and the beginning, the first trilogy of Star Wars, which is episode 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah.
Absolutely blew my mind. Fascinating how it got done. They had all the screen tests early on. I mean, they had Cindy Williams auditioning as Princess Leia.
Really?
The screen test. Oh, yeah. And a few other actresses and other people that, and Harrison Ford initially was not even going to get the role. His job, George Lucas actually hired him to feed other actors lines and tell them what they were doing wrong.
Really?
Yeah. And then finally he was so good at it, they had to do it. But they had some great outtakes of great scenes that were cut and not cut. And some unbelievable injuries that I never knew. I'll give you two for it. I know this is, for instance, I think you'll find this fascinating. You know the scene where Princess Leia chokes Jabba the Hutt to death?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, she throws a chain over him.
Yep.
And whatever. Of course, she was very, she hated wearing the skimpy outfit and all that stuff. And mm-hmm. it was not a pleasant experience for her.
Yeah.
Not that she was molested or groped, or she just didn't like it. She was very self-conscious. Anyway, so when she threw the chain over Jabba the Hutt's neck, and initially she was going to like punch him in the face and beat him up that way, sort of.
Yeah.
And George Lucas said, no, no, or the other director was there saying, no, 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 why don't you throw the chain around him and go behind him and choke him to death that way? Well, they had, in all the Star Wars films, there were so many puppets, and Jabba the Hutt was a puppet,
right?
As was Yoda and everything else. You had, in the bigger versions, the bigger puppets, you had a lot of, you know, little people from Hollywood that mm-hmm. were, one was in the tail, one was doing the arms, one was doing the head, one was doing the body.
Yeah.
So you had like 3 or 4 little people in these puppets doing the scene. Well, when she put the chain over his head and went back to choke him, she had those big high heels on.
Yeah.
She came down on the tail, and the tail didn't have a lot of protection. Her heel of her shoe went right through and hit a little person who's controlling the tail right on top of the head. They had to cut the scene. It's all on the video.
Oh, really?
They had to cut the scene because he's screaming, you know, oh, wow, you know. So they had to cut the scene. Then they built a little cushion thing for him. And the other one that was, you know, there were a bunch of injuries, but the two I remember, they went through all three, and there were several injuries that happened, you know, by accident, including Luke, Mark Hamill getting bit by one of those snakes when he first finds Yoda.
Oh, really?
Those are all real snakes. What? Not poisonous, obviously.
Right, right.
But he went to move it. George was like, you can hear him on the outtake, Mark, move the snake. Move the snake. You know, like, get him to move. And he gets it to move, and it turns around and bites him in the finger. So
they cut that scene
out.
Wow.
But the scene where they were rescuing Luke in Return of the Jedi, mm-hmm. and that big, the mighty Zarlacc, that big, you know, looked like a butthole that was swallowing people that were falling off that ship. Remember in the desert?
Yeah.
Remember
in
the desert?
Yeah.
So Billy Dee Williams falls off, and, you know, they had already done the head stunt person had fallen off first into the pit. Now, when you fell into the pit, they showed underneath where you fall was this gigantic air mattress, which nobody ever saw.
Right.
And so one of the directors said, people don't understand the comedy show that was going on underneath there. He said, because, you know, we're all on radio and everybody has earpieces in and people are falling all over each other and all that stuff. He said, but Billy gets on, you know, Billy is ready to come. He's telling me, he said, I, Han's ready to pull me up. You know, and he says, I thought you were blind. And he goes, no, trust me, a little higher. So as he starts to crawl up,
yeah,
one of the tentacles that they wanted to mechanically grab Billy Dee Williams' leg, which you saw that it does.
Yeah.
But one of the spikes on it went right through his foot, right through his toe.
Ooh.
Right through his toe. So there's a part on there they left in where he's really screaming because he's in pain because the thing went through his toe.
Oh, goodness gracious.
And I kind of kept it in. So anyway, it puts a lot of stuff in perspective. Just goofy stuff like that. It was amazing. If you haven't seen it and you've got Disney Plus, check it
That's
out.
That's good You'll stuff.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And not to mention the over budget and how the film's almost, the first one, almost how it didn't get made and yada, yada, yada. Yeah. That's good stuff.
Anyway. Speaking of Hollywood, we've got Hollywood and Hoops, the best and worst of ballers on the big screen coming up at the 4 o'clock hour. We'll do a top 25 list there. We've got Sound Street next. It is the third anniversary show of Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Who was talking about you?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepherd.
All right, here we go. Let's start it out with Frank Gore. Back with, who did he say? He signed with the Jets, right? He's back with the Jets.
Yeah.
Bouncing all over the place. He says, you know, with Tom Brady gone, and now that he's back in the AFC East, Gore is. Gore says the AFC East is wide open.
I think it's wide open. You know, like you say, Brady's gone. It's wide open. We got, young quarterbacks, Sam Donald, Josh. And I don't know what Miami's doing or whatever, but, you know, I think it's wide open. But, you know, I'm just going to be ready whenever we have to start and try to, you know, let it go our way. Hope it go our way, you know.
All right. Well, he said he doesn't know what Miami's doing. Ryan Fitzpatrick, here he is yesterday. He's all glad that Tua's a teammate and everything, but Fitzpatrick still wants to be the starter there.
I'm as competitive as they come, so I want to go out there and start. I know there's a lot of forces that go into it from all kinds of different sides. So whether that happens or not, who knows? But I know that in order for our team to be successful, whoever's playing in that quarterback room has to be successful. So whether that's me out there doing everything I can to put the team in a position to win, or whether that's somebody else, you know, be it Tua, that is out there doing it, and I'm going to do the best I can to help him to make sure that our position is doing the things to make our team win. And that's just kind of, that's my mentality. That's how I think about it.
I don't think you could ask for a better person to be like the veteran quarterback in that situation.
I agree with you. Perfect guy. No big ego. Probably understands that he's not going to be the starter after the first month.
Yep.
Unless Miami really has that mindset that they are definitely going to redshirt Tua this year, which I think is, I just don't agree with it. I think it's not a bright. I still think he'll be starting sooner rather than later. Let's put it that way.
Yep. Here's Aaron Donald. He says, look, the whole prospect of playing games without fans is weird. He says the game needs fans.
I feel like you need fans to play a game. I don't see how you could play a game without no fans. I feel like that take out the excitement and the fun out the game, kind of. You know, you make a big play, it's just you make a big play. You know, I feel like the fans would pick you up. The fans would make the game exciting. The fans would give you that extra juice when you're tired and fatigued, you know. When you make that big play, you hear 80,000 fans going crazy. That just pump you up. If you don't have that in a game, I feel like, you know, I think that just take the fun out of it.
Here he is, part two on that. He says, well, fans, he says the game is no fun.
You practice and practice is practice, and then you prepare to play a game and be on a big stage and play in front of a crowd of fans. I feel like I kind of, without no fans, I don't even see how that can be possible. Just from my point of view, I just, it's just no excitement. It's just, it wouldn't be fun to me, I think. I don't think it would be fun to play a football game without fans.
All right, but what about getting paid?
Is that fun?
And by the way, the Pittsburgh Steelers today become the first team to announce that they are cutting back half of their tickets for this upcoming season.
Yeah. Look, what he's saying is not wrong, but I mean, it's just a new reality. But I will, you know, and this is something I've wondered aloud on this show before, though. I mean, guys can play without fans. It's going to be like, you know, controlled scrimmages and OTAs, and it's going to be quiet. But at some point, the dullness is going to set in, and it's going to become very sterile. I'm curious. Look, we all want football. We all can't wait to sit in front of our couch and watch it. But is it going to be dead? Much like NASCAR was. Now, whether you're a NASCAR fan or not, the NASCAR thing seemed pretty dead to me this weekend. Even though fans are not a big part of that sport, they are a big part of football. And to a point, I do agree with them.
Well, I know, and players feed off the fans, and I get that. On the other hand, you always hear visiting teams say, "What's the best sound you hear?" Is silence, you know, shutting up the home fans. Right. So, I think it'll be worse for all the home teams. For visiting teams in football, it's going to be great.
My sources are telling me the automatic 3 points to the home team is going to be more like a full point, down to 2 points. I thought maybe it'd be a half, but it's going to be a full point.
Yep.
Home field advantage. For those of you that care about such things.
Yeah. No, I know. There's many of you that do. By the way, South Carolina becomes the sixth SEC school to announce a June 8th start to LSU, Missouri, Tennessee, Florida, and Texas A&M in South Carolina now.
Nice segue, Pete. Speaking of that, when we come back, we're going to hear Nick Saban. He did a PSA on social distancing, and he scolds the mascot for not social distancing, nor wearing a mask. We'll hear the audio from that. I got some Mike Tyson audio, too, talking about possibly fighting Holyfield. We'll play that. It is also the 3 o'clock hour on a Friday, and we're going to do the Friday sports test brought to you by the Boathouse on Naples Bay. Don't know if we'll have phones. If not, I'm going to make Pete play. And Pete, I'll be your lifeline, if that be it. So we're going to do it one way or the other.
All right.
And that's how we're probably going to do Wikipedia, you versus Rick, later on, again, if we don't have the phones up and rolling. But we're going to do it. By the way, speaking of the Boathouse in Naples Bay, there's a boat rally out in. We're getting the band together, man. There's a boat rally in Naples Bay, and that's on Saturday. And so if you pull up to the plentiful docks there at the Boathouse in Naples Bay and put in your order, boom, 25% off until 4 o'clock on Saturday. The days of summer are coming, man. They are coming. So we got all that coming up. It is our 3-year anniversary show. Got a shout out from the Driveway Social Club. Thank you, boys, for listening. We're celebrating our anniversary today. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.